Gospels to John, the 9th chapter. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. We thank you, Father, for the truth. I declare the truth, Father, without reservation, without fear, without shame. It is the truth, you are the truth, and I declare it to be so. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you a story about human government. And it's really what makes us, quote, civilized, or at least gives us a reasonable reason to consider ourselves to be civilized. And this civilization that we aspire to in our, quote, human government essentially says that when two people have a disagreement, they don't blow each other's brains out or hit each other with a shovel. What they do is they go hire an arbitrator, a mediator, an advocate, a judge, if you will. Someone to make the decision for them, someone to render a decision that's binding on both. Now, that does not mean that every single decision that you make has to be ruled by a judge or an arbitrator. Far be it. That's as far from the truth as it can be. Oh, I know there are people that want to think that because then they can say, well, we can't do anything without asking him. I never said that. It's only when you disagree with one another, because she has every much as right as you do. So whenever two human beings disagree or there's a dispute, the civilized way is to go to the judge. Now, it is not my fault that you can't agree on anything. It's not my fault that my judgment is necessary on just about everything you do. Why do you throw that on my lap? If you could find some areas of agreement, you'd find there'd be less and less necessity for a judge all along. I don't think you would like it if your neighbor or anyone who disagreed with you could arbitrarily decide in his favor and against you. That would be a dictatorial communist pinko fink. So we have laws, we have rules, we have principles that we live by that make us civilized. And for purposes of our human government, our judge is Jesus Christ, the truth. Now, if you find it difficult for any of your decisions to go by without a disagreement, could it be possible that your decisions maybe are not all that shrewd? Could it be that that's the only way there's justice in a relationship with you? Because there has to be an objective third party or you'll rule in your favor every time. But so would I and so would everybody else. So I'm going to tell you a story about how Jesus Christ becomes your judge, your advocate. I'm going to read to you a story about a man who was blind, as you were and are in some cases. And this man was healed. He was made to see. And everybody was very upset, not so much at the fact that he could see, but the fact that a human being was the instrument in which this individual was made to see. The human being was Jesus Christ, of course. In John 9:7, it says, "And said unto him," this is Jesus talking to the blind man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now, this is after Jesus spit in his eye, by the way. Now, I know you don't like it, but I got to spit in your eye, friend, because you're blind. And that's what the man did. He spit on the ground, made a little bit of clay with the spittle, and he put it on his eyes and said, "Now, go wash that off." Yeah. Now, first of all, the man must have been in disagreement with his blindness. Why else would he allow someone who he didn't know was God? He didn't believe he was God. Didn't know who he was. A stranger come up to him and says, "Hey, I'm spitting in your eye. And then you go wash and you're going to be able to see." Oh, but he thought it was Jesus. He thought it was the Lord, did he? Go to verse 36, 35. Now, this is after the healing was over. Jesus had heard that they had cast him out. They cast the blind man out of the synagogue. Why? Because he wasn't blind anymore. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" This is Jesus talking to the blind man after he was healed. The blind man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" He said, here's the guy that's spit in his eye. And now he can see. And this same man comes back and said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" I said, "Sure, who is he? Tell me who he is so I can believe on him." Up to that point, he was just a man, wasn't he? In this man's sight, he was just a man. But he could see now. You'll learn something tonight if you have a mind to. Unless you go off into Mimi land. Oh, but that was Jesus, and no one has power like Jesus. Well, how about Paul and the apostles? They had some really heavy-duty power. But see, Paul had the same problem that I have. One time he was preaching in a church that was two stories high. And one of you was sitting in the window and fell asleep and fell and broke his crown. So the problem is not any different. And that was Paul. I don't get what this guy is doing. This is boring. I just don't get it. I think I'll just catch a few Z's here. Two stories, and he fell on his stupid flat head. God has a lot of compassion on us now, though. Notice how low the pews are. If it were me, and we had the money, I'd get rid of all the pews and put high chairs all through the church. There'd be a whole lot more brain damage than there already is. Which one of you wouldn't have fallen out of that chair at least once by now? Don't lie. Just a couple high chairs, Lord. That's all I'm asking for. It'll keep you awake. But you see, this man had the same problem that people nowadays have. So Jesus, this man, walked up to him and spit in his eye and said, "Now go wash that off and you'll be able to see." Verse 7. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Nowhere was there any mention to this man, "I am God, I'm the Son of God, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah." He just spit in his eye and said, "You want to see? Go wash." So there must have been a real dispute between this man and his blindness. He must have really not wanted to be blind. Because no one had to come and make any big announcements, "I'm God here to bless you." He says, "I'm spitting in your eye. Now, if you don't want to be blind anymore, go wash it and see what happens." Amen. So this man must have been in really disagreement. There must have been a real dispute between him and his blindness. Now, I'm going to tell you why this man was healed and you're not. Because this man had a dispute against his blindness. And whenever two are in dispute, Jesus Christ has the right to come in as the mediator and the arbitrator and the judge and make a ruling. And he'll always rule for his children. Amen. Always. You show me a child of God that isn't healed in an area they're not healed, and I'll show you someone where there's no dispute. You love what you're doing. That's why Jesus can't heal you, because there's no dispute. Jesus is the righteous judge. He doesn't come in where there's no disagreement. There's no court in the land that can come in and arbitrate between you and your wife until one of you files and asks for them to come in because you can't agree. No court in the land, including the Supreme Court, will do that. So until there's a formal dispute, no judge. And since those laws are patterned, our civil laws are nothing more than a pattern of the spiritual laws, Why would Jesus Christ give us a pattern for a civil law that's not the same as the spiritual law? Well, the fact of the matter is he would not and did not. Verse 8. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, stupid, addicted, sorry, miserable, egotistical, and sad, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Isn't this that jerk that was sat here and couldn't do anything for himself because he was blind? And some said, this is he. Others said, he looks like him. But he said, I am he. See, so there's always three points of view. Someone says, well, no, that's not it. Well, it sure looks like him. And then there's you, says, yeah, that's me. It always takes an individual to admit. Verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? See, now they've agreed. Oh, yes, you were blind. We've heard about you. We've seen you begging for years. We saw what an idiot you were when you first came in this church. I knew you were stupid. Yeah. We had lots of evidence by your action and lots of testimony, by the way. So I knew you were stupid. How were your eyes open? I knew you were blind. How were your eyes open? See, it's not an issue now. You were blind. We saw you blind. Now, how in the world did this happen? Well, I went off to the world-famous clinic, and they gave me a transplant. Oh, isn't that wonderful? If he'd have said that, they would have all agreed. He answered and said, amen, not God. Not the Savior, not the Messiah, because he didn't know. He said, a man that is called Jesus, not even Jesus Christ, just Jesus, made clay, spit in my eye, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went, and I washed, and I received sight. Now, this guy was not encumbered by this. Is just, who is this person? Am I sure that he knows what he's talking about? He didn't have time to think about that because there was a real dispute between him and his blindness. He just didn't agree with being blind. He didn't want to be blind anymore. Now, if the man would have come and asked him for $100, he might have had to say, well, let's see, dude, let me see if you have credentials. But it was free. Then, verse 12, then say they unto him, where is he? Where's this guy, this man that spit in your eye? He said, I don't know. Verse 13. Then they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. In other words, they said, no, we're not accepting this. We know that you were blind. We know that you see now. And we want to know how this happened. So let's go ask the Pharisees. We know they know everything. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus spit in his eye and opened his eyes. It was on the day that they came to church to worship. So isn't it amazing, whatever healing you're going to get, it's going to start in church. Oh, he did it on the Sabbath day. Well, you can't do good on church in church. Come on, give me a break. How can you do anything right when you're in church? This man is a sinner because he tried to do something good on the Sabbath day. Can you see already the Pharisees are a little short of a load? And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. Now, they've already been told. This is the third time the same question is asked. How did you receive the sight? They're hoping somehow they'll change and give somebody else the credit. God did it. No, he said, a man did it. A man spit in my eye, and now I see. They asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed it, and I do see. That's the third time we've been told that now. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. That was not the question. The question is not, is this man of God? The question was, how did you receive your sight? And the question is not even, have you received your sight? Because he can obviously see their ugly faces now. So the question is not even, do you see? The question is, how do you see? And he told him for the third time, he said, he's not of God. Well, you didn't ask me if he was of God. You asked me how I see. And I said, the man spit in my eyes, and now I see. And the evidence is, now I see. And I was blind before, and now I see. So they got spiritual. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. He hasn't been to Bible college. Besides, that's just his opinion. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's the Messiah? Does he think he's Jesus? No, he's just a man who spits in your eye. That's all. I've never claimed to be anymore. I'm just the guy that spits in your eye. That's it. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. He doesn't? Well, why did they accuse him of not keeping the Sabbath day? Because he does something good on the Sabbath day. Because he doesn't come to church and go to sleep on the Sabbath day. He doesn't come to church and think evil thoughts about you as you're sitting there. He does some good things on the Sabbath day, so that means he can't possibly be of God. This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles then? You see, we're not questioning whether the man is a sinner or not. What we're seeing is a miracle. Amen. Now, we know that miracles are done by God. Now, how could God do a miracle through a sinner? Goes against the program. Now, he does miracles through people that sin, not through sinners. I stopped being a sinner when I became a Christian. I didn't stop sinning, though. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Ah, good. Finally a dispute. They say unto the blind man again. Now these people are deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid, not to mention stubborn. How many times do they have to be told the same thing? And you say, oh yeah, they're really dumb. How many times have I been telling you the same thing? Oh, there he goes, spitting in my eye again. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? Like you can't hear? What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? Right. This is the fourth time now. Now they're saying it.
Yeah.
Now they didn't believe him the first three times. They didn't hear it. Now they're saying it, and they're not even going to hear what they said. Yeah. He hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. You say, no, well, we can't dispute. It's obvious you can see. So now it's our opinion you never were blind. Can you see some similarities here in terms of retardation? Any and every argument. This is stupidity at the highest order. This is a totally prejudiced mind that has one thing in mind only, to be right. And all of the evidence that doesn't support this individual is totally disregarded. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Now we're saying, well, he must have not been blind then. And received his sight. He never was blind and never received his sight. See, he had been sitting there for all those years, being able to see, living out homeless, with his buns on the cold concrete, no telling what shape his emeralds were in by then. And he was just doing this just because he was in the mood, that's why. You see, there's no rational thinking with this kind of chimpanzee. They haven't evolved yet. They didn't believe him concerning that he had been blind and received his sight. until they called the parents of him that received his sight. He said, okay, we're not going to believe you that you've been sitting with your emeralds for 30-some years on the cold concrete. We're going to call your parents. This will settle it all. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Well, if you don't believe he was blind to begin with, then why are you asking how he sees now? He sees like everybody sees. I could have had fun, almost as much fun with these fools as I do with... I could have spit in some eyes in that one there. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. Do you think that people could raise a child from birth well past adulthood and not know that he was blind? Now you couple that testimony with the testimony of the person who was blind and had been begging, and you got a pretty strong case. This dude was blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. This is the parent. We don't know how he sees. All we know is this is our son. He was blind, and he sees now, and we don't know how it has happened. He is of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. And these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, ahead of time, already a prejudiced mind, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. They already had a prejudiced mind. Already made a deal. Anybody that agrees that Jesus Christ is speaking and healing today, we are going to punish and cast him out. Prejudiced minds already. So the evidence is hard for them to deal with, isn't it? Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Don't be throwing us out. He's the blind guy. I don't know how this happened. Ask my son. He was stupid before and on drugs and alcohol, and now he isn't. I don't know what happened. Then again called they the man that was blind. Now here we go again. And said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, wait a minute. The guy says, who healed you? Some man called Jesus, spit in my eye. Now, how many people do you think are called Jesus in Jerusalem? Probably as many as you'll find in Mexico. There's Jesus's around every street corner. Jesus, God bless you. Jesus, God bless him. There's a lot of Jesus's down there. Now, how could they say, oh, Jesus spit in your eye? Well, we know he's a sinner. Oh, no, there's a lot of Jesus's. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You don't even know who the man is. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. You're trying to get me to answer something I don't know. Whether Reuben's a sinner or not, I don't know. Whether Reuben's a preacher or not, I don't know. Whether Reuben is called or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, as I was a jerk when I came in here, now I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I don't know about him. Don't ask me about him, but ask me about me. Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. Now, he hasn't changed. And some of you haven't. You were blind when you came here, and now you see. The difference is now you don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. But you're not ignorant anymore. Then say they to him again, what did he to thee? This isn't even funny anymore. What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? I went and washed, and now I can see. What the hell do you want from me? He answered them and said, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Do you want to be his disciple? You want him to spit in your eye too? The guy's starting to think, man, they really want to find this dude. Maybe they want to put spit in their eye too. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. You're so wrong for following a live guy. Yeah. We follow a dead guy. Now, we're really smart. Moses has been dead now for over 4,000 years, thereabouts. And they say, we follow a dead guy. How dare you follow a live one? Serious brain damage there. Must have fallen out of the high chair when he was preaching. I don't know. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now Moses had been spoken on the earth almost 4,000 years ago. And these guys said, we know God spoke to him. They were at the burning bush. They didn't see any miracles. They just read about them like you and I. But they believe the miracles they read about, but they don't believe the ones that are right in front of them. Isn't that amazing? Verse 30. I like this story. This is a Looney Tune. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Isn't this wonderful? That someone we never heard of, someone that's not announced by God, is still used by God to open my eyes. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That we don't have to wait until God himself returns in the flesh. God will heal us to someone who comes and spits in your eye. Verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So you see, what they're saying is, this man must be a forgiven sinner because God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this man must be right with God. Now, Jesus was right with God for two reasons. One, he never did commit a sin, and number two, he was God. So he's right with himself, right? Right. Well, I'm right with God too. Because of Jesus Christ, I am right with God. And therefore, he hears when I speak. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now, you were born blind. In fact, you were still blind when you got here. Not to mention deaf, dumb, and stupid. But we're only dealing with blind today. And God has used me to open your eyes. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. I can do nothing for you. Nothing. But you discount the evidence of what has been done. And in your anxiety not to give me the credit, you're absolutely right. But by saying Reuben didn't do it, I agree. Then who did? Well, it couldn't have been God. Then who did it? And if God did it, then he must have used me. Because all the services I've been to, and I've been coming to the services for 12 years now, the most I've heard out of you is a snore now and then. So he must be using me because no one else talks. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? They cast him out. You were born in sin, just like everybody else. So they're saying a sinner can't teach another sinner. But their sinner's trying to teach a sinner that a sinner can't teach a sinner. So here's where I say, well, Reuben doesn't know what he's talking about. There's a sinner trying to teach a sinner about a sinner. That's okay. But when a sinner tries to teach a sinner about a sinner, that's not okay. Brain damage. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, verse 35, in case you can't count. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He's already healed. He wasn't saved. What did he have going for him? He was in total dispute with his blindness. And Jesus came in as a judge and ruled against the blindness. Why? Because there was obviously a dispute between the man and his blindness. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And by the way, it is he that spitteth in thy eyes as well. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. Now here's the judgment. Here's where you're losing it. Jesus came for those that see not, that they might see. And they which see might be made blind. So you see, wherever you think you, oh, I see that, you're blind. He said, I came to talk to those one that say, I don't see that, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, those, the blind, I'm going to make them see. And the rest of you that see, I'm going to make you blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Well, we could make a good argument for blindness, but I think stupidity and stubbornness is a foregone conclusion, isn't it? They're still not convinced. Are we blind also? Jesus said unto him, see, they don't know. He said, we don't know if we're blind. We think we know everything. Are we? Could we possibly be blind? If you were blind, if you knew you were blind, you would have no, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. You see, it's all a state of mind. Before the Lord can come in and settle a dispute, there has to be one. Now I'm going to share with you what the Pharisees were trying to do to take this man's sight away from him. They told him, this man's a sinner. And in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. But one thing I know, where I was blind, now I see. So they were saying, this man is a sinner. Now, they didn't know him. No one had accused him of anything yet. No Judas, no one accusing him of. Could sinner mean something different than what we think sinner means there? Could be. So we look up the word sinner. And it means to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. You've heard that many times. But what is the prize? Money? Jesus had none. A nice house? He didn't have one of those either. So they called him a sinner. They said, he's a sinner. He doesn't share in the prize. He's missed the mark. So I looked up and I thought, well, I want to know what the mark and what the prize is. Turn to Philippians 3:14. You're going to learn something about sin you never knew before. You're going to learn what the prize is and what sin is really all about. Philippians 3:14 says, this is Paul speaking, through the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there's the word mark and prize. Now we're told if you miss the mark, you're not going to share in the prize. And Paul said, man, I'm pressing toward that mark. I don't want to miss that mark because I want the prize. I've got to press toward the mark to get the prize. Because to miss the mark and not get the prize is a sin. Not lying, cheating, stealing, missing the mark, and not sharing in the prize is the only sin a Christian is capable of. So I thought, wow, Lord, I don't want to miss the prize. What is this prize? What is this thing what is this thing called love? What is this prize that Christians miss? Well, I looked up the word prize. I wish your high chair had seatbelts in it. Prize means an umpire who arbitrates and gives out the awards. You missed the arbitrator. There's the prize. Jesus Christ is the prize, the one that can rule in your favor, the one you call. When you have a dispute with your sickness, with your disease, with your poverty, with whatever's wrong, and you say, I don't want this anymore. We're in dispute. I'm against this. Jesus Christ will come in and rule, and he'll rule in your favor. You know what the problem is where you haven't changed? There's no dispute. That's what the problem is. So because there's no dispute, you have no arbitrator. You've missed the mark, and you don't have the prize. Now, I am not the prize. I just happen to be the one the prize is in. Now, when you go home, you'd have the same thing for your family. You could be the one that carried the prize. You could be the umpire and the arbitrator at home. But you know why you're not the arbitrator at home? Because anytime there's a dispute, you rule in your own favor. When there's a dispute, the truth is supposed to be the third party, the arbitrator. An arbitrator is one who arbitrates by arbitration. And that means one who acts as an arbitrator in a dispute. Not in everything, just in a dispute. The only time Jesus Christ comes into your life is when you are not in agreement with whatever's going on. Now, here's the problem. When you know what's going on, you're wrong. The last thing you want is the arbitrator. He's going to rule against you. And if it's an area where you know you're wrong and you don't want to change, you don't want the arbitrator because he's going to rule against you. So the problem here with no arbitrator, no prize, no Jesus, oh, he's there as Savior. Because there was a dispute. You didn't want to go to hell. Yeah. And he settled that one. But you don't mind living in hell and making hell for everybody else. That's different. There's no dispute there. Jesus said, you missed out. There's no arbitration here. You missed the mark, and so don't share in the arbitration, because your word doesn't mean any more than mine. Nothing. It's the word of God Almighty spoken through a human being. That's what means something, but it has to be the truth to be God. So you see, what you're missing in your life is arbitration. And the reason you're missing arbitration is because you have no arbitrator. And the reason you have no arbitrator, because in your mind, there's no dispute. It doesn't matter if people don't agree with you. You're not in dispute. You like it just fine, just the way it is. So you're missing out on arbitration. And arbitration means the settlement of a dispute by a person chosen and agreed to by both sides. To settle the question by rendering a decision in which both parties up front agree that the decision is binding. You see these people down there at Jack Murphy Stadium that can't agree, and says, I'm $28 million a year to throw a ball at somebody. I said, no, we don't want to give you $28 million. Be reasonable. No, I want $28 million. No, we're not going to give you. So they hire an arbitrator. Now, I've worked with the Department of Labor long enough that in labor disputes, the arbitrator has to be agreeable to both sides. You just can't pick someone. Neither side can pick. You have to both agree. That's the person. We both trust that person. We will both agree that that's... And there's lots of arbitrators. When I was with the Department of Labor, we had lists and lists and lists of people that were certified to arbitrate in all kinds of different cases. Promotion, firing, medical disputes, transfers, you name it, we had arbitrators for it. Now all I had to do was submit a list to the disputing parties, and they had to agree on one. With the stipulation, pick whoever you want. But once you agree and pick one, whatever decision that person makes, you have to agree up front. That decision is binding on both of you. It's not just binding if it goes in your favor. It's binding, period, whether you like it or not. That's the purpose of arbitration. Why do you think people try to settle things so diligently before they submit to arbitration? Because then you don't have any more control. Truth will win out. So the arbitrator is one who comes in only when the two agree. We can't settle this. And we don't want to shoot each other, at least not yet. Let's try something else. And we don't want a divorce. We don't want all these problems. Let's go to arbitration. Let's do the civilized thing. So you go to arbitration, choose someone to hear both sides, then abide by the decision. Now, in order for that to happen, there has to be a dispute. Now, let's see if there's any disputes in your family. Let's see if you need an arbitrator. Because you see, this message is no good if you really don't need one. And I'm here to tell you, you don't need one if there's no dispute. Dispute means something you discuss, argue about, and can't agree on. I think we need some arbitration, don't we? By its very nature, by its very definition, dispute tells you what it's all about. Dis means apart. It isn't the same dis that's the god of the lower world. Disjoined. It means apart. And the dis means something that's apart. And puter, which is where we get the word pute or in dispute, means to think. So dispute really means to think apart. In other words, any area where there's no agreement in thinking, there is a dispute. Now, God says there's nothing wrong with having a dispute. By nature, that's the kind of animal that we are. What's wrong is when one individual tries to take authority and become the arbitrator as well as one of the litigants. That's totally illegal and is never going to be blessed by God, not ever. And I say to you, if you don't like arbitration, then try agreeing, and you won't need one. Dispute means to argue, debate, and quarrel. Dispute means to oppose and resist in any or all ways. Yeah. Dispute means something that's not settled. Boy, there are some things that are not settled. See, there was a dispute between blindness and the man. And Jesus, the truth, settled it. Now let's bring it home to us. Everywhere you wanted to change from the day you walked in that door, everywhere you were in dispute with your habits and behavior, Jesus, the prize, the arbitrator, settled it and in your favor. Don't lie about it. But everywhere you did not want to change, everywhere you are in agreement with your habits and behavior, there is no need or room for Jesus because there's no dispute. You're in agreement. It's your wife or your husband that don't agree, but that's only half a dispute. So there's no room for Jesus, the truth, to rule. You simply think you've become God. And you are not. The truth, Jesus Christ, is God. And you're either going to submit to the arbitrator willingly and choose one that you can agree on, or the courts are going to appoint someone and you're not going to have any say in the matter. Simply put, there is no Jesus, there is no arbitrator when there is no dispute. In other words, if an individual says, I don't care what you think, I don't care what's right, this is what I want, and this is the way it's going to be. Why? Because I said so, that's why. So there's no dispute. This person has no problem with their behavior or their decision. The fact that you have a problem with it doesn't faze them either. I want to read this scripture once more, paraphrased, not the King James Version, but this will be Rube's version. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether Rube be a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I know, that where I was on drugs and homeless, now I am clean and a family man. Once I was pronounced terminal and left to die, I now have life and life eternal, by the way. Whereas I was divorced and rejected, I am now married and accepted. I look out here now and I only see two people that were married when they got here. The rest of us, cold, flat rejects. As cool as we were, we couldn't hit a lick on our best day, could we? Huh? Totally rejected.
Amen.
Mr. Cool. Couldn't keep it up very long. I mean, a few years, and they already knew. That was it. Over with. I was divorced and rejected. I'm not married. A sinner or not, one thing I do know, no one would give me the time of day before, and now I'm married. Someone has accepted me. Someone's putting up with my garbage now. But whether Reuben's a sinner or not, I don't know. Well, nobody asked you to know. Whereas I was killing myself with depression and food, I'm now happy and enjoying a healthy diet. Now, whether Reuben's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I tell you, I really don't care. I remember the time I was sleeping on the floor here. Now, whether Reuben's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know one thing, I don't sleep on the floor anymore. I don't get up in the morning and have my socks run off my feet. There's a lot of bugs in these buildings, in case you didn't know it. I became personally acquainted with most of them. They all have their personalities, by the way, too. Some were easier to get along with than others, but a bug is a bug, and I know how that operates, and so do you. Whereas I worked for, I don't know if Reuben's a sinner or not. I don't even know if he's a preacher or not. But one thing I know, whereas I worked for others like a slave and a peon, I'm now self-employed and I hire people. But whether Reuben's a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't even know why you care. Whereas I was lonely and withdrawn, I am now loved and have self-esteem. Whether Reuben's a sinner or not, I don't know, though. Whereas I was in a family that used and abused me. All of you have been used and abused by your families. Don't lie, because you've all admitted it to me. So you're either lying when you told me or you're lying now that you're denying it. So the only thing to be settled is not if you're a liar, but when you're lying. You're in a family that used you and abused you. Now I have a family that serves me and cares for me. Of course, there's one dude in there who likes to spit in my eye, but that's another story. Whereas I was lost, I am found out. I know you don't have to be. You're saved. Whereas you were lost, you are now found out. There's your problem, friend. You were found a long time ago. You were saved. That's not your problem. Your problem is that now you are found out. Thank God this is the majority. This is Rube's version of John. This is Rube 925. But then there's a few people that, unfortunately, this doesn't apply to. So I have a Rube 925 for them too. I don't know whether Rube's a sinner or not. I don't know. But one thing I do know, whereas I was egotistical, stingy, money-grubbing, immature, stubborn, self-centered, irresponsible, emotional, miserable, unhappy, rebellious, unhealthy, poor, and ignorant, I am no longer ignorant. Got that one? Go wash in the pool. I just
spit in your eye, friend. And one day you'll learn to appreciate the fact. That's the sad part of your condition. You're just no longer ignorant, that's all. Oh, I've changed. Where, brother? Where, sister? You did what you did and you didn't care because you didn't know better. Now you do the same thing and you don't give a damn. Well, where have you changed? You're no longer ignorant, that's all. I didn't know why I did what I did. And I didn't like what I did. Isn't it amazing? When you first came here, you didn't know why you did what you did, and you didn't like what you were doing. Now, you know why you do what you do, and you don't like knowing why. Because you like what you're doing. And you think God can't see through that? He just spit in your eye and you don't even know it. When you didn't know why you were doing and there was no chance in the world that you could change, you claimed that you didn't like what you were doing. And now that you've been here as long as you have and you know exactly why you do what you do and exactly what to do about it, now all of a sudden you like what you're doing. I don't have to do anything. I like what I'm doing. I've gone as far as I'm going to go. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. I just wish you'd be honest. I won't ask for a mediator, an arbitrator. Why? He'll rule against my weakness and heal me. You see, this is a sad commentary in which Christians, I shouldn't even say that, save people. I've come to the conclusion that there's a difference between a Christian and a saved person. You have to be saved to be a Christian, but you can be saved and not be Christian, because Christian means Christ-like. I can't imagine Jesus Christ treating the family of God the way you do. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine Jesus Christ speaking on behalf of wrong. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine Jesus Christ saying, I am God and I have authority and power, and if you don't do what I tell you right now, I'm going to zap you and that's it. I can't imagine Jesus doing that. But I can't imagine human beings who are no more Christ-like than the man in the moon trying to assume the power and the position that God gave them to be dictatorial, to be egotistical and stingy and money-grubbing and immature and stubborn and self-centered and irresponsible and emotional, miserable, unhappy, rebellious, unhealthy, poor, but no longer ignorant. You'd have been better off to stand before God and say, I didn't know, than to stand before Him and say, I knew and I didn't care. You'd be much better off. I hope that doesn't happen. But when I stand before God and I say, what did you do with this man, this woman? I say, Lord, I spit in her eye. I spit in her eye. And I told him to go wash. But evidently they love their blindness. There was no dispute. They love their weakness. They weren't opposed to their lack of responsibility. They weren't opposed to their weakness. They weren't opposed to their poverty. They accepted it as being inevitable. They weren't opposed to their bad health. They weren't opposed to their diet, their weight problem. They weren't opposed to any of it. And Jesus will tell you, I would have come and ruled in your favor if you would have just brought that matter into dispute. I would have ruled against it. So it isn't that Jesus doesn't want to rule in your favor. He cannot. until you say, I'm against this. Now let me tell you something. Everywhere you are against something, Jesus Christ has ruled against it and for you, and don't lie about it. And everywhere where you have not changed, it is because you are in agreement with where you are, and don't lie about that. And that's okay if that's what you want. I'm only being an advocate for you being honest about it. But I will tell you this. As long as you're in my face, I'll spit in your eye. I'll spit in your eye. I'm unspittable. And why? Because I've already disputed the whole thing. And he's ruled in my favor every single time. Every single time. All I have to do is say, I am not in a favor of that. Now, I know that if I'm wrong, Jesus is going to come and rule and say, I rule for that. And then I say, well, thank you, Lord. I thought I was right, but now I know I'm not. I can't lose. The reason you don't put it before the court is you know you're wrong. And you know what the decision is going to be. And it'll expose you. So you'd rather criticize me for spitting in your eye than thank God. And stop being the arbitrator. No. But I don't have any problem with any human being on the face of this earth or in this room that is not in dispute with their unhappiness, with their poverty, with their sickness, with their disease, with whatever problem you have. If you're not in dispute with it, it doesn't bother me any. I have a caseload that keeps me busy, and I only rule in those areas where there's a dispute. And I can always tell when people are listening here, because both take it home. And then whenever anything comes up, there's agreement because they're applying the principles they learn here. And I'll always find that when there isn't, and that won't happen very often, when there's no agreement, they'll submit it to the Lord for arbitration. But they won't blame me or the Lord because there's little or no agreement in your home. That is not God's problem, and that is not my problem. And I never was an advocate that you should do nothing and think nothing and let someone else make your decisions for you. As a matter of fact, I'm opposed to making your decisions. But I'm telling you, when there's a dispute, you don't have the right to overrule the other individual. That person's a human being just like you. And whenever there's a dispute, as human beings, as civilized human beings, we're supposed to call in an arbitrator. Supposed to submit it to the system that makes a civilized decision an objective decision, not a biased one. Now, the more civilized people are, the less they have to go to court. Isn't it amazing that in this enlightened day and age that we're in, the court systems are so backed up that half the criminals are walking around free? Why? Because nobody agrees with anybody anymore. Because nobody wants to apply biblical principles. I'm right. No, I'm right. Well, let's go to court then. Well, that's what happens in your family. They know who's right and who's wrong. You know when you're right and wrong. You've been here long enough. The problem is you don't want to submit it to arbitration. You don't want to agree. And if you know if you submit it to arbitration, the ruling is not going to be in your favor. Or you might even be afraid the ruling will be in your favor. And pray tell, then you're going to be stripped of your weakness. You won't have any excuse anymore. This arbitration business is heavy duty. So you'll say, well, all right. So he spits in my eye now and then. I can deal with that. But I'm not going to go wash. Doesn't bother me any. You want to walk around with a goober on your eye all the time? You go right ahead. Don't bother me any. My daddy spits further than your dad. There's no reason on this God's earth for you to be in the condition you're in. I go to arbitration every single solitary day. Every day. And never once has submitting to the will and the judgment of God Almighty ever hurt me. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. The real difficulty is that you simply are not opposed to the condition that you're in. You're simply not opposed to the way that you are. You're simply not opposed to the way you affect people around you. You're in agreement with it. And as long as that's the case, I'll be honest with you, and I have no grudges about it, you can't be helped. The arbitrator, the judge, cannot rule unless there's dispute. And all I've asked you to do is one of two things, either agree or disagree. It's this wishy-washy, I don't know, in between, and nothing happens. Therein lies your difficulty. You can blame it on other people all you want. Just remember, whereas once you were homeless and dumb and stupid and blind and underemployed and broke and homeless and all the other, now everywhere you dispute it with that, you're different now. And everywhere you're still in agreement with your stupidity, you're still the same way. The problem is not Jesus. The problem is not me. The problem is not this church. The problem is plainly and simply you and your habit. And the fact that you still love it. Maybe you ought to take stock and consideration that the change needs to come in you. Or at least quit blaming. Don't put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll come in and rule just like that if you dispute it. If not, enjoy it. Court is now adjourned. Where's Bull? But we'll convene again, and we'll make more judgments. But right now, court is adjourned. Brother Bull, would you close the court, please?